Got a touch from the Lord in the service last night as Matthew was delivering his heart, as the Lord dwelling in the secret place, preparing a place for us to find refuge in any situations. He never fails us in anything. Totally safe dwelling with him. No matter what the circumstances are, no matter what the problems are, there's a safe place. You can have a right relationship with him every single day. And the results of bearing a relationship with the Lord gets better and better and better and better. And you never know just how the Lord is going to take that word and touch your heart and who he's going to use to do it. We just want to stay faithful to the work of God. Amen. Tonight we're looking into the book of Luke chapter 4. I'm going to read from verse 16 to the end of the chapter, dealing with the year of Jubilee. It's here. The Lord's ready. The Lord has provided. The provision is there. God is faithful. This is Luke chapter 4. I'm going to begin to read from verse 16. He came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place wherein it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister, and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. Not someday, this day. It's done. It's been finished. It's been fulfilled. The Lord is calling for proclaimers that have an experience. He's not just looking for proclaimers to proclaim things they don't experience. He wants us to experience the truth. He wants us to know him and to proclaim what he has done in us, and that he would do it for others. This is the year of Jubilee. This is the year of liberty. This is the year that the Lord has proclaimed victory. This day is the scripture fulfilled in your ears. Amen. Glory. Verse 22, "And all bear him witness, and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, Is not this Joseph's son? And he said unto them, Ye will surely say unto me this proverb, Physician, heal thyself. Whatsoever we have heard done in Capernaum, do also here in thy country. And he said, Verily I say unto you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. But I tell you of a truth, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elias, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was throughout all the land, but unto none of them was Elias sent, save unto Sarepta, a city of Zidon, unto a woman that was a widow. And many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elisha, which was Elisha the prophet, and none of them was cleansed, saving Naaman the Syrian. And all they in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath, and rose up and thrust him out of the city, and led him unto the brow of the hill whereon their city was built, that they might cast him down headlong. But he, passing through the midst of them, went his way. He came to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and taught them on the Sabbath days. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for his word was with power. I'm going to stop right there. Amen. In verse 21, it says, this day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. Turn with me in Leviticus chapter 25 and verse 9. The year of Jubilee. Leviticus chapter 25 and verse 9. Then shalt thou cause the trumpet of the Jubilee to sound on the 10th day of the 7th month, in the Day of Atonement, shall ye make the trumpet sound throughout all your land. Then shalt thou cause the trumpet of the Jubilee to sound on the 10th day of the 7th month, in the Day of Atonement shall you make the trumpet sound throughout all your land. I don't know why, I just never really remember seeing that before, but just like when I was reading that today, it just come alive in my heart. And I just thank God for that. I thank the Lord for opening our heart and our minds to truth. That's what we're praying for. We're looking, we're listening, we're watching, want to know the Lord, want to know what He's saying, want to know what He's doing. And I was reading the Gospel of John chapter 1 in minds of the thought that I woke up this morning with, like Jesus, like Joshua. And when I was thinking about that, I was reminded of the scripture in Micah or in Hosea where it speaks about like people, like priests. It's just the opposite. The priests are supposed to be the leaders and the examples, but at that time, the priests were following the people. And the people were following idolatry and going hard into wickedness and evil. And they lost their dignity, and they lost their desire to serve God and started doing worldly, sinful, evil practices. But I thank God for the challenge of the Spirit. He'll wake you up. He'll stir your heart. There's a voice today of people striving and struggling and don't even realize what they're struggling for. But I thank God for the teaching and the training that we have been given, so that when we make a certain sound, it is not just a noise, as if I was given a trumpet tonight and was told to play it, the best I could do is get a sound out. I could make a noise. And I could make some action with my fingers and probably get a 3 or 4 sounds out and might change it. Today, little Benjamin was playing on the flute, or at least blowing in it, and I was trying to make the holes touch them and open them and try to make different sounds as he blew. And, you know, just little things like that throughout the course of the day, the Lord gets your attention. Things that you're just playing with a child. Things that you're just praying and waiting on God and you're really not knowing just exactly what He's going to say, what He's going to do, but He just brings it to your spirit so that we're not just taken up with what people are doing today and just gathering in and entering in and making a sound. God has a mind for His people for deliverance and victory, and it's going to be the Word of God that the Holy Ghost uses. Now, I know that there's a lot said in my growing up that the letter killeth and the Spirit giveth life, and to the point where people said, let's do away with our Bible and have revival. Let's do away with principles of the Bible and doctrines and, if it's just doctrines of man and just the commandments of man, like wash your hands before you eat, you know, you can do away with that, okay, if you want, but When you get sick, remember, you know, and you just keep getting sick and keep getting sick, there's going to come a time when you're going to stop putting it together. But I think we can learn some things without going through the school of hard knocks, without going down the road that is broad, that just leaves your mind open to anything and everything. Looked at a magazine as I was sitting waiting in an office this morning, and it spoke about kissing mucus. And I won't describe the whole thing, but as it turned out, there was the front lines on the page that caught my attention. So I went over to it and picked it up. And it had to do with some kind of medicine that somebody was selling so that you could kiss mucus goodbye. But just it caught my attention, especially being the morning devotions that we had this morning dealing with warning signs. You see, warning signs given just about everything in life. You can't drive down the road without following some signals and giving you some warning signs. And talked about the warning signs that you read on the medicine bottles. Most medicine bottles are sent with warning signs. A lot of them tell you the side effects that it could cause. And we even went to the point of a pack of cigarettes. It doesn't just give you what mama says, what daddy says, or what somebody says, but the Surgeon General himself puts a warning there that it's harmful to your health. But above all those warnings and above all the people that are special and significant that are interested in helping somebody, their interest is really not just to control people, tell them when to stop, when to go, where to go, what to do, but to be helpful and to turn them away from that which is going to be harmful to them. Above every voice, above them all, is the voice of the Savior. And His warning is not to hurt you. His warning is not to just control your life. He knows what's best for us. He knows what's good for us. And He wants to bless us. But He wants to bring us into a place where we understand the principles of the Bible, the principles of His Word, the principles of His nature. And I was just thinking of that and trying to bring it out this morning and trying to challenge them to see that our God demonstrated to us humility. He went through great lengths to demonstrate to the people humility and the need for humility, and also demonstrated honesty. He was honest all the way through. I thought as I was reading this account in Luke chapter 4, He could at any time stepped up and judged the crowd because of all the things that they were involved in. But at no time did He stop them or hold them back. He submitted to them dragging him and pushing him out of the city and dragging him to the cliff, to the hill, and to the ledge, right to the side, right to the end. The only thing He didn't let him do is throw him off. Brought him to the edge, but didn't let him throw him off. He let them see how far they were thinking that they were going to go. And if He let them, they would have, but He didn't let them. And the same God that was willing to go to that side, He's God. He could have went off. He wouldn't have been hurt. He's God. But the principle of it, there comes a time when He says enough is enough. There comes a time when He allows things to go to a certain measure, and then for a warning, they're looking, and where did He go? Where is He? He's not here. He was out of their midst. What it was a warning. There was not great words spoken. It was just in the silence. And they were confused in His silence. He silenced the crowd in one sense. And in their confusion and all of the emotion there, they looked and He was gone. He was out of their midst. A warning to them. The master warning. The master's warnings given out to the people. You can't continue to do what you want with Him over and over again and get away with it. You cannot do with what you think you can do with this gospel message and with the Christ and with His words over and over again. For while you think you got a hold of it and you can do what you want with it, but there comes a time when He just out of their midst. And if He returns, if you continue to read in Isaiah chapter 61, what the scroll that Jesus took here in Luke chapter 4, He read of the scroll, and He's reading of a day of liberty. He's reading of a day of jubilee, a day when the Messiah would come, a day when the Savior would be, a day when there would be a Redeemer, a day when there would be a Deliverer, a day when He would bring healing and victory to the souls of men. And you see that Jesus Joseph stopped as he read these words, and he closed the book in the middle of that, and he said, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." It's a warning to them that he is the Savior, he is the Deliverer, and they would not continue over and over again just treat him rebelliously and stubbornly, but there would come a time when he would return. After the day of grace, after the day of liberty, after the year of Jubilee, there's coming a day of judgment. Today is the day of Jubilee. Today's the day of great deliverance. And God is looking for a people to proclaim the year of Jubilee. But at the same mind, as we study the Word of God, not that we're proclaiming judgment always, not that we are just looking for judgment on people. We're not looking for that. In fact, there needs to be a restoration of love in our hearts for the souls of men, that our first impulse should be to see mercy shown to them over and over again, praying, "God, be merciful to sinners. God, be merciful to people." But it's understanding the judgment of God. And we that have been know the mindset of God, that one day, not just in his holiness or in his honesty and his humility, but one day in his holiness, men will be judged. And we that understand the judgment of God, we understand the terror of the Lord out of his holiness, we persuade men. We warn men. And tonight, I pray that there'll be an alarm sounded, that men will fear God, that they would not take this gospel and take this Christ and take the love that is shown to them to an edge of a cliff and ready to just throw it away, but they would come to recognize the greatness of the Savior, the greatness of the Redeemer, the greatness of this ministry that he has set forth, not just to be in the lives of a few, but he has said, "I have come that this gospel might be preached in all the world. This gospel would work in every heart." And he said for his disciples to proclaim it, and let those that have experienced it proclaim it. If you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, let people know that Jesus Christ is the only Savior. If you know the Lord to be your healer, let people know that Jesus Christ is the only healer. And as you look down through these verses of Scripture and you come in contact with these words, let the Spirit of God help you to apply that to your life, so that you're not aiming at anything other than but what the Lord would reveal to you by the Spirit out of the Word. Because, you know, today people have mindsets and aims and goals and visions and dreams, everything coming in all different directions, but we've got to be led by the Spirit from the things that are given to us out of the Word. So that if this Word is your aim and that's your target, and you begin to focus on that Word more than anything else, you'll see that God is true to his Word. He'll help you get the bullseye every time. I worked a little bit with my brother Kevin on a bow and an arrow, and he was setting some sights. He paid a lot of money to have perfect sights, but yet when, you know, there was a little problem with Joshua's eyes, and I just thought about that in class today. There's nothing wrong with the sights, but sometimes there's something wrong with our seeing. And we have the tendency to try to adjust things for ourselves. But God wants us, and I know what Kevin was doing. He was looking for a bullseye. He was looking for his son to, at every interval. There was 10 yards, 20 yards, 30 yards, all the way to 50 yards. And at every interval, he wants the bullseye. And that thing is set to hit the bullseye. And if you change it out of that range, it's not going to hit the mark. And if you're not seeing it right, and you're looking at it, and it's set to hit the mark, and you change it because you're not seeing it right, you're going to miss. Amen? So how much more, when it comes to the gospel, we have to make sure that we're not just aiming and changing the direction that this Word tells us to hit the bullseye. We've got to make sure that we use the guides that are given to us. They're perfect. It's real. It's genuine. It's the Holy Ghost. He's the guide. You never have to compromise the Word that he gives you. Never have to change your understanding to go after the things of the world. Let this word change you. Don't change this word to fit you. Change, you change for the word. Don't change the word to fit you. Now, at the time, the scripture says that Jesus was talking about a prophet would not be accepted in his own country. And at that time, in Elijah's time, Elijah was a man that was forsaken. Elijah was a man that was so forsaken and so persecuted and so put down and fought against. It was so difficult for him that it was real in his mind that he was the only one left. And the way he was seeing it, he tried to adjust his vision and his seeing by way he felt. You've got to keep the word of God first and foremost in your heart and trust the word to help you to find the mark. The word will never fail you. People will fail you. Things will fail you. Circumstances will fail you. And you'll have the natural tendency to try to fix things, to get it right, to make it work. And here's Elijah trying to get it fixed, trying to make it work. He felt in his spirit, I am the only one left. There's no one else to help me. There's no one else to proclaim this message. And he felt so all alone. But the Lord did not give up on him. And it came to him and spoke to him. And he said, I have 7,000 that have not bowed their knee to Baal. There's other voices that are in the land. They're proclaiming the word of God. They're doing the will of God. But it's sometimes they get so so few and far between. The miles get so far away. Sometimes when you're all alone, it seems like because of the circumstances of the fire, feels like you're the only one there. It was true to Elijah in his feelings. But he, like Jonah, had to stop looking at his feelings and trust the word of God. Trust the word that God gave to him. Elisha went through some experiences, a very hard, very difficult. And Jesus used these two men in a time when Israel looked at Elijah and Elisha as old prophets, bald heads, men that were kind of loose upstairs. They didn't have it together. They were constantly against them and just second-guessing them and questioning them. And they were not received at that time. But God had a measure to work in those men's lives, to use them for his honor and for his glory. And he sent the chariot, the heavenly chariot, by to pick up Elijah. Near Elijah's taken up into heaven. God said, I'm going to do something special because this man has trusted my word, trusted the will of God, and done the will of God. If he'd have continued on the way he was going, he would have missed that experience. The chariot wheels could have rolled in and rolled out without him. But Elijah learned to keep his eyes on the Lord, not look into the feelings of his flesh. And when it was time to go, he stepped in and he was taken away. It's to the honor and the glory of God and his faithfulness that he just knows how to do it. His word is true. His word is good. He dealt with Elijah. He helped Elijah and he brought him through and he took him away into heaven in that fiery chariot, just as the Bible says. And with Elisha, though he went by the way of the grave, while his body was decaying in the natural, the anointing of God on his bones was so real and vibrant and alive and fresh, so that when a time of war, a man was digging up the ground to about bury a dead body that had just bled on the battlefield, it was going to just bury the body, but in his quick digging and throwing him into that grave, not knowing just where he's digging, but digging up the bones of Elisha and throwing the body, a dead body, into the grave of Elisha. The Bible says when the man was thrown in and his body touched the body of Elisha, the anointing is still fresh and alive there, and that man rose up on his feet, back alive again. It wasn't Elisha. It was the anointing of God. It was the power of God, the life of God remaining on the bones of a man. Why the man? Because the man man was learning to trust God and believe God. It's the trust in your faith and your confidence in God that will never die. Though the body decays, though worms eat this body, our soul and our spirit is alive in God. And he'll even it sometimes, like he did for Elijah, allow his spirit of life and power and anointing to remain upon the bones of a man. Near that man that was come in contact with Elisha, he felt that life. He was revived. He got back up on his feet. He was alive. And if God could use the anointing on old dead bones, what can God do for you and I here tonight? Some of you look like you're still alive to me, still breathing. There's still flesh on your bones. If God would anoint bones with no skin on it, wouldn't God anoint us tonight? Wouldn't God send an anointing? And Jesus said these words. He became flesh and dwelt among us. And he says he was anointed of the Spirit. And the anointing that was promised to come came. He said, this day, this scripture is fulfilled in your ears. And in Leviticus 25 and 9, in the day of liberty, in the day when the Jubilee, in the hour when Jubilee, when all the captives are to be free and all the lands are to be restored and all the families are to come back together again, no longer have to go out and give themselves and sell themselves to work and slave to provide for their family. But in the year of Jubilee, the 50th year, souls that have been slaving and sold into slavery, sold their bodies and their lives, now they can be free and go back to their families. What? Why? It's no question. It's no problem to understand why it would be called a year of Jubilee. A year of happiness, a year of joy, a year of thrill, a year of thanksgiving. So thankful. Amen. And it's one thing to get back your family again, get back your possessions. It's one thing to get back all of your belongings and get back your home and to enjoy the family life again. But something that he offers more than just under the law of bringing people back to a possession. But God has promised us eternal life. And there's nothing greater than the soul possessing eternal life. And the soul that possesses eternal life is in line to receive of the anointing of God, to receive this power. It's for you. The power of God is for you. And if you can experience the anointing of God, this ministry upon Christ was given as an example for every one of us to receive. An anointed ministry is not to be a hit or miss thing. Some have it, some don't. That's what man has come up with. God has designed a plan and a purpose to anoint every soul that would believe on him. Believe him, be saved. Believe him and be filled with the Holy Ghost. Have the anointing of God in your life. Jesus began to look back and he saw how men have changed their minds and their lives because they've never been willing to come into true focus of the truth. And they learned to, over the traditions of man, learn to love Elijah. And through the conversations as the years went on, they learned to love Elisha. But yet God is not interested in us just loving the men and loving what people think of people and just remembering things. God wants us to love truth. God wants us to love the power and the anointing of the Holy Ghost. God wants us to have a spirit that is in tune with him. And our spirit is more in tune with people and loving people and loving the praise of men more than the praise of God. And our spirit is in tune with building programs instead of in touch with God. It's a sorry sight. And the Lord proved that. And he demonstrated that to them. He is the Christ. He is the anointed one. He is the prophet. He is the Messiah that Jeremiah and Isaiah had prophesied about. This day is the scripture fulfilled in your ears. And he began to tell them, I'm in my own country. I'm here. I don't expect to be accepted. I don't expect to be received. But when you understand who he is and he was rejected, he was put down, you see the spirit of the people, a spirit of rebellion, even against the Lord of glory himself. They're going to reject you. They're going to fight you. They're going to persecute you. That's the warning signs. This is the year of Jubilee. This is the year that God has chosen. He said, this day is, this scripture is fulfilled in your ears. It's not a matter of another time. Don't put it off. Don't push him off. Don't put it away. That's the cry in the desire of the flesh. That is the mindset of the people to push Christ off. Put him off. Put him off to the point where they were willing to take a hold of him with their own hands. Push him off the cliff. But he says, enough is enough. He only let them to go so far, and then he was out of their midst. I thank God tonight to warn us, give us warning signs when we feel pushing going on. We feel pulling going on and people rejecting and pushing away the anointing and the power and the gospel. Thank God he's helped us to have read the warning signs tonight. There's coming a time when he'll say enough is enough. He'll draw the line and he'll be out of the midst, never again to have opportunity to receive him as the Lord of glory, the Lord of the Savior, the Deliverer, the healer, the one that sets the captive free, the one that brings sight to the blind eyes, the one that brings hope to those that have been bound and bruised and broken. He's the one that gives life. No one else can do it but him. And he's here tonight in this service to help you to see what he's willing to do in those that will put away rebellion, put away disobedience, put away the thoughts and feelings of the flesh that pushes God away and tries to reject the gospel. Put that aside. Get to the place where I need you, Lord. I need your word. Be like that little woman that understood Elijah. Now I know that thou art a man of God, and the word of the Lord in your mouth is truth. And I'll listen to the word of God. I'll yield to the word of God, not just to fill my belly, not just to make me escape the famine, but I understand that you were sent here in this house to deal with my son and myself, to live godly and live holy lives. God didn't send the prophet Elijah into that land just to help her to eke out an existence so they wouldn't die in the famine. God's interested in their soul, knowing truth, knowing him in his goodness and his graciousness. Let the house burn down. Let us be like the Habakkuk said, let it all be destroyed, but give me faith in God. I'll rejoice in the God of my salvation. Let everything turn to naught in the natural, but I need to rejoice in the God of my salvation. Let it not just be habit forming that we come to church. How many times we justify ourselves because of our continual coming? Oh, it's better than some do. They don't even come consistently. But let us begin to develop some proper habits, not just coming, but proper coming for the right reason, the right motive. It says in verse 16, he came as his custom was. He went into the synagogue. God, give us a people that are accustomed to being in the house of God, but coming with the right motive, coming with the right mindset, coming with a heart that will receive him. See, they came that day. They was there, but it was just a matter of time when he said the things they were not willing to understand and willing to receive went against the grain of their spirit. They were ready to cast him headlong over the cliff. But God, give us people that will love the word of God, will find out what it is that is displeasing to him and that's rejecting him and pushing him away and pushing him off, not fully receiving him. Find it out. Read the warning signs and understand that he alone can help you. Put your trust in him. In verse 18, the Holy Ghost was given without measure, and he was anointed. And the Lord is calling for us to have anointed ministry. It isn't a matter of just doing things, but it's anointed of God. So that when you put your lips to the gospel sound, it makes the right sound. The Holy Ghost speaks through you. It's not just the words of a man, but it's the words of God spoken through your heart and through your lips. Your lips become on fire. You come an oracle of God to minister grace and love to the people and a right measure of truth. Not the wishy-washy stuff, anything goes today. The other day a lady visited. She's yet to come. Pray for her. So there's a lot of people They talk, and then others talk, and they divide themselves. But I thank God we had the opportunity at least to speak to her face to face. And I shared with her, and I said, there's a lot of people out there that'll talk about love, but they leave the message open, so it doesn't matter how you live your life. And she said, I understand what you're saying. She said, I just came from the assistant pastor on the Route 100 in Gray. And she said to me, she says that he said those very words, that we love them, we don't try to change them. And these are the words she said. She said, I tried to think of the worst. She says, it came right to me. She said, if a man committed adultery, beat up his wife, went home and studied and came back and taught Sunday school Sunday morning, you wouldn't say anything to him? She says, the pastor said to her, we don't get involved with their personal life. That is a sad thing for that to happen in any country. Say nothing about the country that we live in or the state we live in, close to home. People loving in words, but their heart is far from God. In Matthew, the 15th chapter, he says, they draw nigh to me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. God give us a heart for truth. And the heart for truth is going to make your soul free so that your heart is willing to do the service of God, so that the Holy Ghost will anoint your heart. You'll have a love for souls. That's what the Spirit of God will do. We'll bring back a love for souls. John 3:16 will burn like fire in your soul. For God so loved the world. It's talking about loving souls, loving the souls of men. You won't love the things of this world. You'll hate the things of this world. You'll love the things of God. Love God. Where's that love coming from? From the power of the Holy Ghost. The Spirit of God will constrain us and hold us in a position to love truth, love God, love souls. It's real. You won't be able to shake it off, push him off forever. There comes a time he says it's enough. Let's look in verse 18. Anointed to preach. Anointed to preach. Thank God. Thank you, Jesus. To those that most people push down and reject, disdain, he says, preach the gospel to the poor. They can't do a thing for you, can't help you. You're going to have to pay a great price to be able to preach the gospel to them. But count the cost, pay the price, preach the gospel to the poor. The anointed ministry to preach the gospel to the poor. That ought to say something to your spirit. That ought to do something. That ought to deal with your spirit. You have to become poor in your spirit. You have to come to where you need him. Which one of us can help people over and over again, not get tired, not get weary, not get in any way affected or influenced? We need the anointing of God to keep us living a separated life, keep us live a humble life, renewed, revived, restored, strengthened, and the strength of God in you to help them. They're poor. They're poor in their spirit. They need help. They need help. And it's also a good thing to be poor in spirit in the sense of being humble. Don't think that you can do it, because as soon as you think you can do it, the Lord will let you try. But he'll only let you push him to the edge. And then he'll be out of your midst. Today's the day to accept Jesus, to believe him, to trust him, to proclaim him. Preach the gospel to the poor. It says he was sent to heal and to deliver. Two things, to heal and to deliver. An anointed ministry of healing and deliverance. It's more than just words. It should grip your spirit. We need the anointing of God upon us. He's the healer. He's the deliverer. He's going to use one that would proclaim it, one that would believe it, one that would receive it, possess it, proclaim it. Let it be proclaimed in all the earth. That's what's been stirring in my spirit today. Leviticus 25:9. It was proclaimed in all the land. In all the land. I could picture in one community the sound going out. Somebody heard. This is the year of Jubilee. This is the time to make the sound. Sound the alarm. Give that sound of Jubilee. Make it in all the land. And if there was not one in position to proclaim it to every place, some had to move. They had to go in areas where it wasn't being sounded. It wasn't being given. All the land must hear the sound. And it takes somebody to blow the trumpet to make the sound. Make that certain sound. It was not to be a sound of war. It was not just to be a sound of gathering together in service, but it was to be a sound, a special sound given to come back home. Come back to your possessions. Come back to the things that you've given up and you had to sell out, give away. It's a time of deliverance, a time of returning back. Would to God we'd understand what the Lord has made for us in this gospel to free us from sin, free us from the clutches of the devil. He didn't just say words, go free now. He gave us freedom to go back and receive possession. We have been granted rights to enter into the full blessing of God. You read about in the book of Joel, when right down, we won't read all those scriptures, but you look at it and you see that with the cankerworm and the palmerworm and the caterpillar, all of the locusts had eaten. The Bible says in the second chapter, it takes them down to what they had eaten, what they destroyed. The Lord said, I will restore. I will give back. And not just what they had before, but plenty more beside, in abundance. And the gospel gives us the promised blessing far beyond what we've ever experienced, what we've ever known. You can come back tonight. You can receive what sin has taken away. How is that possible? He's the miracle worker. You say it's not possible. You try to adjust your sights to what you think, you feel, and you miss the mark. But if you repent, you go by the word. He's the miracle worker. He's the one that he will do it. These aren't just the words of a man. This is the words of God. He will restore what sin and what the devil has taken away. You read in the book of Judges where it says, Samson met the lion and he ripped him apart with his bare hands on the anointing of the Spirit of God. That wasn't a strong man. That wasn't Samson in the flesh, but that was the Spirit of God upon him that helped him rend that lion. And a sign to us in this generation that Jesus Christ is the one that has destroyed the works of the devil. As it says in 1 Peter 5:8, the devil is as a roaring lion, he's gone about to devour and to destroy and to deceive. But the Lord gives us the power in this hour to destroy the works. He did it. He did it already. And he's destroying the works of the devil in this day, in this hour, at this time. And there has to be some that would receive the victory to proclaim it. I thank God for what he's done in my heart. I thank God for the deliverance that he's given to my mind and my soul and my spirit. The devil tempts and tries to bring us to the edge to kick us off. But we find ourselves on the edge. We find the Spirit of God and the wisdom of God, the same powers demonstrated that day, not just to let them know that he's warning them of what he could do against them, but I receive it as a warning tonight and an encouragement. The same one that was led to the edge to be pushed off, thrown away and destroyed and devoured and was out of the midst, that same one is telling me, you are at the edge, you are ready to be destroyed, you was ready to be pushed over, but I I rescued you. I pulled you out of the clutches of the enemy. I pulled you out of his grasp. You'll no longer be a pushover. You'll no longer be pushed around and thrown around by the devil. But you can find a power that will cause you to overcome. You won't do it in your own strength. You won't do it according to your thinking and feeling. But if you trust God, you believe God, he'll work the miraculous. They will speak big, loud words against you, and they'll gather and congregate to destroy. But our God is greater. Our God is better. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. You experience that power. You believe him. You'll be tested along with others, but you'll be true to the master, and he'll use you. Be a trumpeter for victory, for jubilee this year. How do you know this is the year? How do you know this is the day God wants to work? How do you know this is the day of grace? The Word of God says so. How do you know that God is the deliverer and he's the healer of all things? He's the one that will bring healing and deliverance to anyone and everyone that believes him. How do you know that? Do you know my family? Do you know my cousin? Do you know my sister? Do you know my brother? Do you know my friend, it doesn't matter who they are. Do you know my Jesus? Do you know the one that has proclaimed healing and deliverance for whosoever will believe? That's what you need to trumpet out. That's what you need to sound out, the voice of God's word. Preach the word, speak the word, live the word. Let the word be sounded. They're saying 71% of Christians are against Bush and negative towards his campaign. They didn't get my vote. I thank God for a man that will stand up for what is right and take a stand against sin and ungodliness. You know, wherever you see a man that will take a stand for right, the multitude flocks against them to destroy them. They put a picture today. I saw that laying on the counter. This little Bush standing behind a big father Bush. And I just been dealing with that phrase all day, like father, like son. But I thank God in many cases that I've seen that that's not been true in that case. There's been a difference. I thank God for the difference. And I praise God for the difference. I believe beyond young Bush, beyond his wisdom and his understanding, his stand, God has worked miraculously to turn some things around. And it might get worse as far as the political scene. It may be hard and difficult. These things, you know, I saw headings that says, "Are you ready? Are you ready?" And you can just imagine what they're trying to picture. I'm not even going to tell you the picture. They're saying, "Are you ready?" They're trying to prepare people to receive things that are destructive, that are evil, that are wicked. I'm not ready for that. I'm not ready for that. But I know one who is. And as we prepare ourselves, for his wife will make herself ready. We prepare ourselves by setting our sights by this word. Change our minds. Change our thinking. Change our doings. Change the things that we have done. Change our mindset. Change that. Let God be honored. Let God be glorified. He says, preach this gospel to the poor, to the brokenhearted, deliverance to the captives, to the blind, to the bruised. Look at the heart of God reaching out to the poor, to the brokenhearted, to the blind, to the poor. And you read the things that are said about those that need healing. The brokenhearted need healing. And the captive need deliverance. The blind need sight. The bruised not just need to be stopped being pushed around and thrown around, need liberty. Freedom. These are things God has promised us that we can enjoy, we can experience, and to be able to be the voice to express that to others. You know, there's some having a hard time to believe that God can open the eyes of the blind when we have story after story and account of facts, promises over and over again. He is the giver of sight. In John chapter 9 and verse 5, he's not only the healer of these physical eyes to give you sight, but he is the light of the world. To give your soul and your spirit the light that you need to make it in this day. Is this the year of Jubilee? If you understand who Jesus is, you won't be writing the next book, This is the Year, and get all confused about Jesus coming this year to rapture a church, because that's going to happen one day. The book says so. But if you have your sight set by the words, before that hour comes, there's an hour where he's going to have a people that will declare a year of Jubilee. Before judgment, there's been Jubilee, promised from the very beginning. Before judgment, there's been promised of an anointed ministry. Christ didn't just come as an example. He came to show us the way. He came to show us what he can do in our heart, in our life. There will be men that will be anointed of God and they'll stand and proclaim the same healing, the same deliverance, the same power to bring sight to the blind, to bring healing to the brokenhearted, to bring deliverance to the captive, to bring a liberty to those that are bruised. There's many ways people have been bruised today by the clutches of the devil right in the house of God, bruised with so many feelings and thoughts and false doctrine and contrary attitudes towards the will of God. God, deal with our heart. God, help us. God, bring us into a place where the Spirit of God will be yielded to and obeyed. Amen. Where God's Spirit will rule our hearts and our lives. We'll not be doing our thing, but God's Spirit will bring a revival. We need the power of the Holy Ghost to reveal this word to us. Reveal this word. Reveal the will of God to us. I don't know it all. I need to know more. I need to know more. But what good will it do just to know it and not do it? Lord, help us to get us out of the things that we're accustomed to that are habit forming, just made us religious, pious, made us self-justifying, but bring us back to a reviving, a restoring, the power of the Holy Ghost flowing through our hearts and our lives. Give us more. Get us away from after song service, packing up the suitcase or the guitar case, or just closing up everything and closing up shop and just waiting for the preacher to get done so I can go home and get up early in the morning, get all refreshed so I can go to work. Oh, goody, I get to go to work. You know, I like working, but there's something more important. There's something more important than just our families, as important as that is. There's something more important than the little children. You know, that little boy when he cries out, bump. Bumper, you know, it touches the chord in my heart. It touches the heartstrings. It goes beyond anything that you can say in the natural unless that happens to you. But more than that, when God touches the soul of a man and begins to heal and deliver where no human hand or voice could ever touch, I believe God's Spirit is needed. It's needed. Too long you've been bruised. Too long negative thoughts have run your mind till your stomach is ached, your head is hurt. Fever has been allowed to go through your body. Can't make it. I'm sick. I couldn't make it. I was sick. They use it almost like an excuse. They're so accustomed to be sick. How much more I need him. Come drag him. Pull me out if we're sick. We need him more so. Heal this body. Heal this mind. Heal this soul. Do it in me, Lord. Let me be a proclaimer. Let me be one that understands the word of God and the will of God, that we can proclaim it to others, that they can get help. It's coming a time we're about to the edge. The Lord would bring us to the edge and he'd be out of our midst. He doesn't want to leave any behind, and he won't. He won't miss one. So if you trust him, you believe him, you proclaim this word with him, you'll find he'll take you. He'll take out a people for his name's sake. It's going to happen. It is. It is. It is. With every voice and every 10 and 100 voice, seems like 1,000 voices standing up and proclaiming different things. But God says, you stay true. Speak the word. I'll make your face like a flint before them so that you don't have to back down. You don't have to back up. You stand for truth and what is right. I want a flint for a face, but I want a tenderness in my spirit, that I will love the souls of men with the last breath we breathe in this life. love souls so that our words will be like Jesus in the end. Lord, lay not this sin to their charge, no matter what they're saying, no matter what they're doing, that we'll not be charging people with sin, but we'll be calling to God for mercy. Oh, have mercy on their soul. Have mercy. Let the Holy Ghost give you a bath, bathe you in His presence to help you to love the souls like He does. Reach out to the lost. Let's pray tonight. Let's believe God. Amen.